woke up, I was very excited. I don't think anything really exciting happened, but I, in my heart, felt very excited. And it was because the Lord came to us last night. He came to us. He touched my heart. That's not the first time He touched my heart, but I felt His love, and His love is so fresh. And so when I woke up this morning, it was just like, oh, it's so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. I felt sorry I didn't give a testimony last night. That's why I'm saying this morning. Not because I felt I should give a testimony last night. I didn't feel I should, but then I thought, wow, it'll be sad if I leave and I don't give a testimony. People will think Jesus hasn't done anything for me. He's always doing something for me. My problem is I don't know which part of my testimony. He does so many things. I don't know what to say. Where to start? There'd be no end. But I can say this. Every morning, His mercies are new. Every morning, He gives me new hope. Every day, I just look for whatever comes. I don't know what's coming. I have no idea about the future, but I'm not the least worried either. I'm just so happy in Jesus. And I wanted to say something to the young people because I've often taught teenagers and I really like teenagers. My teenage years were very memorable and important to me because that's when I found Jesus. And I often wish I could have the ear of teenagers now that I'm in my 70s because I think I found the right way. I found a good way, a true way, a real way, a fulfilling way in Jesus. And I'm so thankful that He came to me when I was a teenager, when I needed Him the most, when I had so much ahead of me and I didn't know what would be good or what would be right. And I had the idea that life was going to be hard. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have Jesus help me? And it has been nice. And I just wanted to share something, if it's okay,
please,
that I think we don't tell our young Christians, whether young in age or young when they find Christ, is that Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. That's true. But then He also said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So there's something He wants us to learn, and we don't really make much of that. We know we should come to Him. We know He forgives us. But we don't realize what He said. And it's the only thing that He said, to come learn of me, and that is to be meek and lowly in heart. Well, why don't we teach that? But I got it. I got it early. And I've been working on it for 50 years or more or whatever. And I see it's not about being inferior. It's not about effacing yourself. You should be who you are. Being lowly in heart does not mean that you can't be excited in the morning when you wake up, or whatever. People have different personalities. But to be lowly in heart is a protection against pride. Mm-hmm. It's such an insidious thing, pride. And it also makes the way for love to come into your heart. If you're lowly in heart, it's easier for Jesus to pour in His love into your heart. And He has a lot of love to give. When I was living in the faith home in Woodhaven in New York, which was a pastor's home, church home, I was reading, Mrs. Robinson's Treasures of Wisdom, a little booklet that somebody put together that were quoted about this minister, Mrs. Robinson, Martha Robinson, and it was this, don't find fault, refuse to do it. And it caught my attention, and I said, I think I'll try that for a week. Now, the reason I thought I would try that is that I just wanted to make sure there wasn't something that I was doing, because I have not tried to find fault with people, and I've tried to respect people, but still I found that I didn't know if I was perfect. And so I tried it a week, and I said, oh yeah, little things, like the way people put chairs. Maybe they shouldn't put chairs that way. Okay, so why do I have to find fault with that? Things like that. And so I tried it for a week and I thought, well, that's good. I'll try it for another week. So I said, Holy Spirit, just search me. Don't let me find fault. So it went on and on for quite a long time. But what I found was it goes along with being lowly in heart. It lets love come in. if we're finding fault, it just kind of stops up the love, the grace. And so I saw that it was a way of liberty. And this is what's exciting me to me too, is I'm so free. Inwardly, I am so free. Nothing like drags me down. I don't have anything that's dragging me down. No burdens. I say this because Jesus has done this for me. This is not the normal human condition. That's just, he's done it. And so I have a lot to be thankful for. And you know, it says in Thessalonians 5, it says, in everything give thanks. And I think there's a tremendous power in giving thanks for every little thing, knowing that the Lord is going to work everything together for his glory and for our good. Even our stupidity, even our mistakes, whatever, it can all serve his purpose. He's so wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Brother Bernie, do we have that song, Ask the Savior to Help You, Comfort, Strengthen, and Keep You?
I don't think it's in our book.
He will carry you through.
I don't think it's in the book, but maybe I'm wrong, Brother Paul, but we can sing it anyway, the chorus at least. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and
Yeah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We ask you this morning, Lord, to help us. We ask you to comfort us. We ask you to strengthen and aid us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will take the burdens that we bear, that we carry, the worries, the frustrations, Lord, the fault finding, the things that shouldn't be in us or part of us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to take them from us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we will learn of you. And Lord, you aren't any of those things. Lord, you are somehow rid of all the baggage, of all the burdens, of all the cares, of all these things that we sometimes carry, that you say we could cast them all upon you. That you want to change us and make us like yourself. And Lord, we want to learn of you today. We want to take your yoke upon us and learn of you.
Yes, yes.
You are meek.
Yes.
You are lowly in heart. Dear Lord, help us to be meek. Help us to be lowly in heart.
Yes, yes.
Lord, you say that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And Lord, maybe we're tempted to be lifted up. We're tempted to be, well, think that we're better than we ought to think of ourselves. But for the grace of God, but for the mercy of God, where would any of us be? But Lord, we thank you. We thank you today that you can help us. You can teach us. And so, Lord, may we learn our lessons. May we not yield to these temptations. Lord, every one of us will be tempted. Everyone will be drawn away. Lord, but we thank you that we don't have to yield. We can overcome.
Yes.
And to those who overcome, Lord, you give a crown of righteousness.
Yes.
Lord, and we thank you that we are in that process of receiving a kingdom, and we are in that process of receiving a crown. And so, Lord, we pray today that you'll just help us. Lord, you're here. Your presence is among us. You've drawn near to us. We thank you that where we gather in your name, you're faithful. It's your promise. And Lord, you don't renege on your promises. Here you are as we gather in your name in our midst. You're here to help us. Help us to learn of you. And so we pray, teach us. Teach us, teach us, teach us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us from your word. Teach us by your spirit. Teach every one of us the lessons that we need to learn today to be more like Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you'll come to camp today.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. And today, this last week of the third period, Lord, we pray that you'll bless the boys and that you'll bless the cottagers and that you'll meet them every day, that you'll draw near to them, and Lord, that they will learn of you. Learn about the real Jesus. Be confronted with you. Learn what Dr. Luke has to speak to their hearts today. Lord, teach them, teach them, teach them. Lord, and may we never get to the place where we're not teachable, where we think, well, we're not in the cottage, and we're not in the village, and we're not in Onantham. Now we're grown-ups. Now we're old. Lord, teach us how much we need to learn of you, how much we all need to be taught of you. Give us a teachable spirit. Oh, Lord, and to that end, make us humble and lowly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
When I was a young kid,
teenager,
I would be troubled by thoughts, temptation thoughts, and although I had been told in meetings such as this that it's not the temptation that's the sin, but it's yielding to it, somehow I didn't grasp that. And I just felt like I was a miserable sinner because I had typical teenage thoughts. And as I grew older and as I realized that that's not so, even though as adults we're bombarded with things that we, temptations, thoughts, but as I grew older, I thought to myself, I have to make that clear whenever I can, to young people especially, that it's not the thought. If you dismiss it immediately, that's the sin. So you shouldn't feel guilty about that. We are, as humans, we are rotten through and through.
Okay.
And there's nothing that we can do except to give it to the Lord. Brother Edwin tells the story, speaking of humility and lowliness, he tells the story of a minister who had just finished preaching a sermon, And as he was standing at the door, as people exited, one kindly old woman said, Brother, that was a wonderful sermon you gave. And he replied, Yes, I know the devil already told me that. What blessed me, not so much that it was an interesting story, but that he was this man, if the story is true, who just dismissed it. He just dismissed it as, oh, that's the devil again. And if we could get that into our bones, as we were taught as regarding lust, it's not that first look, it's that second look. Mm-hmm. If we can just dismiss these temptations, realizing that we are no good, that we will always be open to temptation, and the devil is always trying to get our thoughts, and take it as it is, just dismiss it, give it to the Lord. That would be a wonderful victory for us, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So God has that victory for us. God wants to come to us and make us realize how great He is and how puny we are and how we depend on His grace day by day, thought by thought. So we can depend on His grace to bring us through. He will carry us through.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near thee. Humble thyself, and His presence shall cheer thee. He will not walk with the proud or the scornful. Humble thyself.
Advice this morning. Do you like that? I don't know. But I've been a mother a long time, 34 years. So you're going to have to hear my advice. Sometimes I can feel myself sitting in these chairs like you young folks are, because I was on staff. Some things were very much the same. Some things were different. I was telling the girls that there was a buzzer in the minister's cabin. And no rug upstairs. And so if we made too much noise, and that wasn't very hard to do, we got buzzed. The gardeners would let us know that we were moving around too much on our nights off. You'd have to stay very still on your bed and really not make any noise. But that's not what I got up to tell you about. I remember when I was your age, sitting here, I wasn't the perfect kid, believe me. But I dearly wanted God's will for my life, and it was a struggle like it probably is for you. I'll bet you wondered how to find God's will. When you look back after all these years, it's not very hard to see God's hand. But when you look forward, it can be confusing. And I can tell you that God's will has less to do with that one person that you're looking for, or that career that you're looking towards, or the college that you're looking for. God has a will for all that. But the way to find that will is not by looking for that. I'll read you the verse that tells you how to find God's will for your life. It's in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's how to find it. If you do those things, if you are rejoicing, if you're looking to God, if you can give thanks in everything instead of complaining about what goes wrong, and believe me, we have to work on that too. Here's another one that will tell you how to find God's will for your life. It's in Micah. I love this one. I can't find the verse, but it says to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. God will show you His will. He's not looking to keep it a secret. That He doesn't have much stake in keeping His will hidden. God wants to reveal His will to you,
And that's how you find it. I'm not going to steal my husband's thunder at all by telling you that the way Gideon found God's will was not by worrying about it and trying to figure out what it was. He was doing the job that was before him. He had to do something for his father. He had to do it in secret, but he did it. And when he was doing God's will for that day, God revealed the rest of the will for his life in that. And that's what you should do too. Whatever's before you, do it heartily with all your might. That's another scripture verse. Just do the next thing, and God will lead you step by step. I haven't had a life full of drug addiction or anything that's gone particularly wrong, but God led me step by step. He kept me step by step. By just doing the next thing, I don't say I never made a misstep. That certainly is not true. And I continue to make mistakes. But God reveals his will. And when you're my age, that'll be a while, but you'll look back and you'll see how God has led you, if you will let him. And it's not hard. In fact, it's wonderful. It's joyful. There's no better life. It may look like there's more fun out there than following God's will, but there really isn't. I can tell you that. As I said, I've raised 3 children. I'm still in the process of raising one, and sometimes it feels like I still have to raise the other 2. You parents of older children and grown children know that that job's never over. But I see God's will, God's hand in their lives too. I see as they look to him and they follow his will. It's a joyful life. It's a wonderful life. It's a full life. It's an abundant life. And I pray that each one of you will find God's will for you too. Thank you, Jesus.
Could we sing 365?
Sure we can. 365. Number 365. Shall we stand as we sing?
Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have, Lord. You do, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.